Every once in a while, you meet someone whose presence feels like a calm truth. Someone who holds space not just with their words, but with who they are. Today's guest on the Relationship Pod is one of those people. Welcome, Reshma.
Thank you.
Reshma is a trauma-informed psychotherapist who is trained in person-centered approach to therapy, which is rooted in empathy, authenticity, and the belief that every human being has the capacity to grow and heal when given the right conditions. But Reshma brings a lot more than just training. She brings her lived experiences, cultural sensitivity, and a deep commitment to trauma-informed healing. She's worked with survivors of domestic and sexual violence, led services for children impacted by abuse, and has contributed to trauma research and community well-being initiatives. And now I am so proud to welcome her onto not just the podcast, but also our team. In this conversation, we explore what healing looks like through a person-centered lens, what it truly means to be seen without judgment, and why the relationship between a therapist and the client is everything when it comes to growth. So whether you're in the thick of your healing or simply just curious about what good therapy can look like, this episode will give you insight, grounding, and maybe even a sense of hope.
So thank you for that introduction, Sarah. it feels, like I said, really almost like interesting when you hear it back and just being like, wow, you know, I got to do so much work before and not even realizing that sometimes.
Yeah, it's a great opportunity for you to self-reflect on your own personal achievements and your own journey.
Yeah, absolutely.
Which brings me very nicely into the first question that I wanted to ask you, which is, what is it about your life and your personal experiences that inspired you to take this route?
I think this is a really interesting question. And I also know that this is something that as therapists, we get asked so much on, like, what brought you into therapy? Mm. And I think, like, reflecting on it, it was kind of like a number of things that kind of led me to where I am. Mm. And, you know, sometimes when you look back at your life and you think, if I hadn't done that or experienced that in that certain moment, the trajectory would have completely changed. Yeah. This was definitely like one of them. So when reflecting on it, I keep thinking, there were so many instances in my life where I felt less than, mm-hmm. even like starting with like my culture. So I'm South Asian, I'm Indian, and I come from quite a traditional family. Like my parents are a bit more liberal, but still that essence is there. And whenever we went to India, because I moved around a lot as a kid, I never really got to experience life there.
Yeah.
Whenever we went back, it would always kind of be like, I'm too almost like white or too Western to be here. I'm not fitting in. And when some people used to talk to me, they used to think I'm less than because I was so kind of disconnected from my culture at the time. Mm-hmm. And like, so how my life basically looked was I was born in India, stayed there for about 3 years, moved to the UK, stayed there for another 3 years, moved to Indonesia, stayed there for 2 years, and then moved to Dubai for about 6-7 years. So in India, where it was the culture, in the UK, it was kind of like my race. So when I was there, I was one of the only brown kids in the entire school. And this was early 2000s, York, very predominantly white British. So I was kind of thrown into the deep end of the pool there. I didn't speak a word of English when we went. My parents kind of weren't really there to guide me through that process either. So it was just, I was left to figure that out on my own. And even when I was there, I have had experiences where people have looked at me and they've been like, I don't trust you. And imagine saying that to like a 5-year-old kid, you know, like they don't know anything. So what do you mean? Mm-hmm. And that instance really stayed with me because it's like you're looking at me again as less than. In Indonesia, you'd think it would be more kind of culturally sensitive because there are a lot more Asians there. But even there, I was quite badly bullied for like 2 years just because I was a new kid. I came from the UK, so I had a very different accent. I had a very different kind of understanding towards things. So and again, like the theme repeated itself and it was like, you're less than because you weren't here. You don't know what's going on. So it was kind of this constant feeling of being made to kind of think that I'm less than someone else. And that eventually led to me overcompensating. So it's like, how can I make myself smaller? How can I make myself more desirable to you? Should I give up my value? Should I give up the way I think? Should I give up the way that makes me me? And I think at one point, right before I actually came onto the course, I remember sitting down with myself and thinking, like, who am I? You know, I feel like a chameleon. Like, I feel like with one person, I'm like this, one person, I'm like that. But what's my essence? And I feel like whoever I kind of tried to open up to, they didn't really understand, because I've had a lot of privilege in my life. I can't deny that. But at the same time, it doesn't mean that I also haven't kind of faced loss. And the biggest loss I faced was my sense of self. Didn't know who I was. And when I went into uni to do my undergrad, I thought, okay, I think I've kind of found a path that I can go on. And that was to work with children with special educational needs. So I basically went to study developmental educational psychology. But when I got there, I was like, I don't feel like this is it either. You know, I feel like I'm not actually getting under the surface of what I'm trying to figure out. And I remember that I was sat at my graduation and I watched everyone kind of being called up, and someone said, okay, now this is the bachelor's in therapy. And I was like, oh my God, that's, weirdly enough, it was like kind of like a light bulb moment. And I was like, oh my God, that's what I want to do. That's where I want to be. Like, I want to be in therapy. And I didn't realize at the time what kind of the implications of that even was. And after that, I kind of had a break. So then I went to do an internship in India. And this was my first time being there after not living there. And when I got there, I worked at a hospital and I worked in the psychiatry department. So when I was there, it was like very eye-opening for me, because a lot of clients would come in for counseling. And for me, the kind of like bias that I had was that we don't talk about this here. We don't talk about mental health. We don't do all these things. So seeing so many professionals actively kind of campaign for better mental health, what that means, what that looks like within our community, was so like amazing to me. And it kind of sparked that thing where it's like, yeah, you know, I feel like I want to take all of this that I've gone through and feeling so misunderstood and kind of channel that into helping people who might have gone through the same thing. And that's when I kind of found person-centered therapy. And the thing I loved about it was that it was so specialized to you. And I think that's the main thing, because all through this time where I was like dealing with so many things, it was like people were giving me very generic information. It was like, maybe it could be this, maybe it could be that. But it wasn't like, you're not capturing my experience. Mm-hmm. Like, whatever you say, that's not resonating with me. So I think when I like went through all of that and finally was able to see that things are changing so much in India, we need active representation in this field. Being a South Asian, I need to speak about my experience and maybe it'll touch someone else's out there in the world. And I think that's when I kind of decided that, yeah, this is the path I want to go on. But it was just such a array of experiences that kind of led me to where I finally ended up. And even if I look back, I think it was hard, but I wouldn't change it.
Mm. Wow, I love that. That's amazing. And I recognize so much of my own story and your story. And I was like, that the alignment is crazy.
Yeah.
For some people that are watching this, when I met Reshma, and we were, obviously I told her I was a relationship coach and about what I do, and then we started talking about what she does, there was a lot of similarities in our values.
Yeah.
And the way that we like to think and work on specific issues. And I didn't actually hear that much of her background, like her own personal background story, but it's crazy how much I relate to it. Same thing when I moved to the UK, I was racially bullied for being the odd one out. I was in Worcestershire, which is in the middle of nowhere, just full of white people. So I totally get it. And thank you for being vulnerable and sharing that. It's a beautiful journey. And what do you think that you learned throughout your personal experience and what you learned in person-centered therapy that has helped you personally grow in your own journey from feeling not enough? And like, how would you say that that has kind of impacted your relationships today?
I think it's really interesting, the thing about person-centered therapy, because it's a lot of undoing before you actually start the work. So I went into therapy and I was just like, I don't even know where to start. I don't even know where to begin. And she was just like, my therapist at the time, she was like, start with where you're at. And I was like, this is really weird, because I feel like you don't know me. Do I have to give you context or that type of stuff? She's like, no, just tell me about what's going on for you right now. And as we started that, I feel like it unopened so much for me in terms of what I was kind of keeping in. And when I say that I was giving up a lot of myself to kind of connect with other people, that basically translated into people pleasing. It was just constant people pleasing. And I was left completely drained, so exhausted and very resentful. Because I was like, you know, why am I pouring so much into other people and I'm not getting anything back? And what's even the point? Even in my relationships at the time, it was kind of like I was very harsh. They say that you can tell someone the truth, but you can be gentle about it. You can be kind. You don't need to say that it's the harsh truth. And I completely agree with that. So I think what it really, really helped me do was just give me that change in perspective that I needed to see that, you know, there are so many things that first you need to pour into yourself by doing rather than expecting it from other people mm-hmm. as well before then you can pour into their cup.
Yeah.
And I think, yeah, it was just such a long, hard journey of undoing. I think it took me almost 2 years before I finally felt like, you know what? I think I'm getting to kind of the basics. Like if you asked me to make a list of what I'd like things I like, things I don't like, I could actually add a few things onto the list instead of being like, I don't know, like, but this person said I'm good at this, or this person said I can do that, and doing it that way. So I think that really changed kind of my perspective in that moment. And that was the main thing I loved about person-centered therapy. It was so much listening, because I think we go to professionals or we go to therapy, like psychotherapists, and I'm not saying all of them. There are still some really amazing people doing work out there. But a lot of them, as you're talking, they're formulating in their heads, being like, okay, what do I need to come back with? What do I need to tell her? What do I need to do this for? Or like, what do I need to plan for? But the thing I loved about the therapy that I was doing was she just listened. She just listened and she reflected and she gave me this perspective. And she was like, oh, like, I can hear that you're feeling this, but I'm also sensing you kind of have this going on. And it was like, actually, yeah, like that does exist as well. Like it's very fluid in that sense. So it helped me see that there was a lot more than emotions being black or white. There's a lot of gray.
Yeah.
And that really changed my perspective as well, because that's when I started to listen to people. And I started to be like, okay, you're not coming to me because you want a solution. You want me to listen. You want me to acknowledge what you've been through. You want me to validate your experience. I can do that. And I don't have to drain myself doing it either. I can put in boundaries and be like, okay, you know what? Like, I think there's a lot that you've given me and I just want to sit with it for a second before we continue, because it seems like a lot is happening and I need to process it as well. And that really helped me in my relationships with other people and with myself.
Yeah. Like one of the biggest things that is required for a healthy relationship is the ability to feel seen, heard, and understood.
Absolutely.
And it's surprising how difficult of a skill that is for a lot of people to develop. So exactly. I think it's amazing that you bring that into your relationships, but also into your clients, because it's so powerful just to be witnessed and held in that space. And if you are somebody who is struggling with people pleasing, probably a loss of identity, it is so powerful to have somebody just be able to listen and hold up a mirror for you to see who you actually are.
Exactly. Like that's literally, you know, person-centered therapy, like in a nutshell. We just hold up the mirror and we stand by your side. We don't like push you. We don't judge. And I think it's crazy because so many people talk about communication, but so little people also know what communication is. So it's just really eye-opening when you kind of get to see behind that curtain and be like, okay, so you're going through the process, but this is also how the process is working with you. So it was just, yeah, such an amazing journey. And I think like using that with my clients as well has been such a privilege to be able to do that and to be able to hold that space for them and to be trusted with seeing the most intimate aspects of themselves.
Yeah, that's beautiful. And people underestimate the power of just having that.
Yeah.
Just having that kind of person in their life. Because when you think about these survival patterns that are developed, like the low self-worth or the people-pleasing, it always comes from this place of never feeling like you are seen or valued as a person.
Exactly.
And it's about creating that secure relationship within the like coaching/therapy environment that on its own is so healing. But at the same time, I know that a lot of people that come into my door have been in therapy and they're like, Sarah, I get it. I get it. I know why I am like this. I know what it means. And I even kind of understand like what I'm supposed to do, but I don't have guidance or direction. And that is where a lot of people tend to feel stuck. And they're almost skeptical about doing therapy.
Yeah.
So if you were to kind of speak out to those people and be like, hey, don't miss out on a great opportunity to do therapy just because that has been your experience with it, what would you say is different in the terms of the way that you would work with them?
I think one really big misconception that people have about therapy and person-centered therapy as well, something that even I had, was that it can't be challenging. So when you come into a therapy session, you might just expect me to kind of sit, listen, nod along, reflect. That's not what we're doing. So not only am I acknowledging what's happening or validating it, but I'm also challenging it. So you could tell me that, hey, you know, this made me really sad, but I could also challenge it and be like, but did it make you angry? Because the sadness is kind of like underlying, completely understand that. But what else did it come with? And how has that then kind of had like a domino effect? Mm-hmm. So it's not just agreeing with the client. You can disagree. You can be like, if you look at the situation from this perspective, could you also see this happening? And could you also see that happening and that being a trigger for you? Mm-hmm. And that's why you were left feeling like this. So I think, again, it's just offering that perspective. And I think therapy, to some extent, it is very tedious, is very frustrating. It's a long process. And sometimes you just feel like you're stuck in this never ending loop. And I've definitely had that with my clients where we're discussing the same situation again and again. And you feel like there's no breakthrough. But that's when me as the therapist needs to step in and be like, listen, I think we're going around in circles. So we kind of need to come up with something to break the cycle. Mm-hmm. And if you can't come up with that, let's sit down and I'll give you options. We'll go through the process of elimination.
Yeah.
So it's very proactive. It's not very passive in that sense that you're just stuck in that same trauma cycle where you're talking about it, you're not feeling good, or you're constantly kind of like trapped in this bubble.
Yeah. I think the proactive thing is so important. And one thing that I have recognized with people that come in for coaching and even therapy is that they don't know.
Yeah.
They don't know what they're supposed to do.
Yeah.
And they get really frustrated when someone's like, well, what do you think that you should do?
Yeah.
Because they've spent their whole lives having other people make their decisions for them, that they're so out of touch. They're so out of touch. I think there's something really powerful in the self-discovery process that you go through with people.
Yeah.
And that's why I think the person-centered approach is amazing, because it really is a process of them discovering themselves and getting back in touch with that intuition.
Absolutely.
But yeah, I think that like what you said is having that other perspective and having somebody else to be like, okay, let's interrupt this together. I'm going to try and help you find the answer.
Yeah.
And if you can't find it for yourself, then I'm going to get involved based on what I know about you, and we figure out a way that sits right with you.
Exactly. I think it's not really helpful, like you said, to a lot of people to be told like, but what do you feel about this? Yeah. What do you want to do about this? Because it's like, I don't know. That's why I'm here. Like, you were supposed to tell me.
Yeah, literally.
And I've had that exact same experience in therapy, and my therapist has been like, all right, so let's redo this approach. If I say I'm going to cater to you, I'm going to cater to you. If this isn't working, let's change it. It's as simple as that. And I think that's the beautiful thing about person-centered therapy. It's so, so fluid and so changing that it can be adapted to anyone and everyone's needs. It's not one size fits all. It's very, very unique. And that's why it's so important to build that relationship with your client. And I think the main part of it is a bit frustrating, because you might have already been through this process before and you're telling me again.
Yeah.
But what we can do in this instance, and what I've done with a lot of my clients, is don't tell me. I don't want to know. Let's start here. And then let's just continue. And as we continue, you fill me in where you think I need to be filled in. And then we adapt the approach that way.
Yeah.
So you tell me what I need to know, we'll go off of that. And the more I get to know you, the more I also do a process of elimination in my head, where I'm like, this might not be what she wants. This might not work for her, or this might not, you know, be what she's looking for. And we kind of get down to exactly what you need and tailor it specifically to you. So it is a lot of work. It's a lot of commitment. But I think if you like build that relationship with your client, you're really able to go the distance.
Yeah, that's epic work. Really epic work. And I take the same approach in my own coaching with my clients, where we don't have to start in childhood.
Yeah.
You don't have to tell me about all the shit that you've been through. Because when you talk to me about what's coming up for you right now, it starts to unravel on its own.
Exactly.
And you only go into what you really need to go into. And you don't have to spend a lot of time there. Because another thing that I get from my clients is like, oh, do I have to keep going back to my past?
Yeah.
And do I have to keep thinking about all the shit that's happened to me before? And I'm like, no, you can tell me about it so that I understand a little bit more. But we don't have to spend a lot of time there. So I love that that is something that is in your approach as well, because I know that it is one of the things that my clients really appreciate about the coaching program. In terms of what sort of experience that you have had mm-hmm. with your clients working around relational issues, mm-hmm. do you have any sort of examples of what somebody's journey could look like with you in terms of the struggle that they went through, what kind of approach that you used and mm-hmm. what the outcome was after that?
Absolutely. So I've had a lot of clients where I was working previously, and it was in a charity. So we worked primarily with women, and they were, again, like survivors of domestic abuse or sexual abuse, which is, you know, very things that kind of strip you to the core of who you are, and you really have to build yourself back up. So I've worked with like a range of clients that way. And one client that I can think of, she initially called and she was very tentative about it. So she called me and she was just like, "Hi, like I'm having some trouble with my husband, and I thought I'd just talk about it and see where it leads to." And she ended up having therapy for about 3-4 months after that, because she was quite resistant in the beginning. She's like, I don't know if I need it. Like, I don't know if I need to be here, but I'm just going to tell you anyway. And when she started, she was like, I basically got married to him a couple of like months ago. And recently I found out like on his phone that he's been cheating on me and talking to other women, and he's actually met up with someone, and kind of like started when they were trying to have a child together and she was having miscarriages. So it was
wow.
It was
a lot.
Yeah, it was honestly so shocking. And sometimes you do hear about, like, when clients open up to you and you do hear their stories, it breaks your heart. So I remember being on the phone with her, and like my eyes just started tearing up because I was like, this is so painful. And that was the first thing I said to her. I was like, this sounds just so painful. Like, I know we're here to maybe do like an introduction or assessment, but I just want to say, like, I feel in pain just hearing that, and I can't imagine what you're going through. And that's when she broke down and she was just like, yeah, like I thought I was going crazy. I haven't told anyone. And I felt like, you know, am I connecting it too much? Am I making a big deal out of this? Wow. And it's like, no, you're not. Like, you can see that. That's your experience. That's so valid. So I was just kind of like staying with her during that session. And it was through the weeks that we worked together, it was kind of like her and her husband were still living in the same space, and he was still sleeping in the same bed as her, doing all these things, and she didn't know. And it came to a point where she was just like, I don't even know how to approach it. I don't even know how to talk to him. I feel like I just shut down. And we spoke a lot about her finding her power mm-hmm. and what that looked like to her. So was that setting boundaries? Was that taking space away? Was that like investing into other relationships in her life and pulling back on what she offered him? And through kind of, again, the process of elimination, it's like she was trying and testing these different methods. So one time she just straight told him, she was just like, listen, I don't want you sleeping in here. I can't do this. And he ended up sleeping in the living room. And even after that, she was just like, I feel okay in my bedroom. I don't feel okay in my living room. I feel like we need to establish something else. So then it was kind of like reaching out to her family, letting them know the situation, having that support for her, telling her work. So then they put those measures into place for her as well to make sure that maybe she can stay at work a little bit longer, get some breathing time, have a longer lunch break to just decompress or something like that, small things. And towards the end of it, unfortunately, she didn't end up kind of like leaving him, but she did say that she felt so much stronger to the point where she told him, you need to get out of my house and we need to work on this relationship completely from scratch, or else, you know, I'm going to go my separate way. You're going to go your separate way. And that was such a huge moment for her to be able to do, because she also came from kind of like that place of people pleasing. And she had a really tough childhood where her father was quite absent and she didn't have that kind of strong male role model that she needed. So for her, like, he represented that until he broke her trust. Mm-hmm. And for her to go from that to being like, you know what, I don't actually need you. Like, I have other people in my life. I have great things going on. I'm learning how to thrive on my own. Now it's your time to put in the work. And that itself was such an amazing thing for her. And I just like remember telling her, like, I'm so proud of how far you've come. You know, you've put in so much work and you've walked the talk. Like, that's what you've done. And you should just be so amazing at how far you've come in these few weeks. So I think that was something that really stayed with me. And I also had another client who had a lot of issues around boundaries with her family, and that they were kind of taking her for granted, to be honest, because she was in a very abusive relationship. She moved out with her son and then came back home and the abuse just continued. She was really treated like the housemaid. Mm-hmm. It was so heartbreaking to hear. And when she first came to me, she was just like, I just don't know who I am. I just don't know what I like. I feel like someone could throw a brick at me and I'd happily accept it in my face, you know, like, and I was just like, oh my God, like, it was very intense to hear because I've never seen or heard someone who had so little like self kind of like confidence or self esteem. And for her, it was very, very slow work. So it was like, it started very small. So it started off as maybe saying no to going to have lunch with a coworker, then to saying no to her parents being like, oh, can you put this away, and being like, I'll do it in my own time. Mm-hmm. And she went from being like that to then finally being like, I'm going to move out of this house and I'm going to have my own place. I'm going to go traveling with my son. I'm going to live my life. And even to a point where she told her parents, no, you cannot do this. You cannot come into my space. You cannot gaslight me. And those were the exact words she used. She was like, you cannot manipulate me into being who you want me to be. I am my own person. And her parents were so shocked at that point because they were like, who are you? Like, what happened to you? And I was just sitting there. I was like, yes, this is exactly who you should be. This is what you should be doing. And, you know, we'd have moments where she'd come in and she'd be like, couldn't wait to tell you this. I was able to do this today and I'm so happy. And we'd just have like celebrations. And it was just through sharing her wins and losses that she felt like, I finally have someone on my side.
Yeah.
I finally have someone who's rooting for me, who has no obligation to do this for me, yet you are here every single week. You make that effort to come and I make that effort to come and we meet and we do these things. And it was, I think it's just in these little moments that you find that like such an intense moment of connection where it's like, I see you for who you are and I appreciate you and I value you just as you are. And that has the ability to completely change someone's life.
Wow. Really, really powerful stories. And it's such a testament to, again, just having that person in your corner and having that relationship in your life where someone is literally 100%, their only concern is for you to have what's best for you.
Exactly. Yeah.
And that is not always so common in your typical day-to-day relationships, right?
Yeah.
That's why having a therapist is just so, so important for your own personal growth. And it's the accountability as well, right?
Absolutely.
Knowing that you are going to go back into that call, office, whatever it is, and you're going to be asked about what you've done.
Yeah.
In terms of like, how are you contributing to getting out of your own suffering?
Exactly.
It really pushes you to start moving forward.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
And I think you've nailed it. Like, it's those two very core things, isn't it? It's one, having someone who kind of has no bias in your life being like, you know what? No, they shouldn't have done that to you. And that is not excusable. And another one being like, you know what? You also have a part to play in this. I'm not here to magically solve everything that you're going through or fix every problem in your life. This is just something that we work on together. It's like running a marathon with a friend, you know? You have to have that support to be able to make it past the finish line. And this is just the same. So it was so beautiful how you put that.
Yeah, yeah, wow. So you've spoken about the different types of wins that you've had with your clients. Is there a specific type of person that you'd love to work with or that you feel that you have had the most successes in working with?
Someone who's just honest, who's able to admit, I just couldn't do this this week. And just being honest about that and actually trying to make an effort to be like, you know what, even though it didn't happen this week, I'm still going to try. Yeah. Not just someone who kind of like throws in the towel, because that's the whole process of rebuilding yourself, isn't it? You're going to have situations where you go through it again and again and again before you kind of decide or know how to break the cycle. And I think that's something that I feel from personal experience as well, because I've had situations kind of with relationships like family or friends where I've tried to insert a boundary. It hasn't happened. I've come back feeling very defeated and I've gone to my therapist and I'm like, oh, but you know, they did this and they did that and I couldn't do this. And she's just been like, the only thing you can control is your actions. The only thing you can control is yourself. So I can understand that you weren't able to do it this time, but does this mean that you're giving up on this or are you going to try again? And that was enough to be like, you know what? Yeah, you're right. I can't force someone to have a reaction to me the way I want them to. That's not within my control. But the way I adapt my approach, that definitely is. So it might have been 5% one time that I've put in a boundary, 20% the other time. It might have been 15 the next time, and maybe 50 the next time. So I think it just depends on if that person is willing to try and go that distance and really, you know, do what it takes to make it work. Because I've had clients when I was working in my previous role, where they've come in for a few sessions, I've kind of given them like little tasks to do or try, and they've just come back and been like, nope, couldn't do it, don't want to do it, just please fix my problem. And I've just been like, in the nicest way possible, I can't, like, I'm not here to fix your problems. Like, we have that saying where it's like, you can't be Bob the Builder.
Yeah.
you can't do that with people. And it's really dangerous to try to do that with people, because then you find your emotions seeping into it as well, and you get frustrated and you get resentful, and you, that boundary is completely broken, and then you end up being very short with your clients and being like, nope, not doing this, goodbye, find another service. And I've seen professionals do that as well, so it's been like a wake-up call for me to be like, okay, you know, if this approach isn't working for you, maybe we should try find you something else.
Yeah.
Maybe we should try find you something a bit more hands-on, a bit more solution-focused, a bit more something that really meets your needs. And it's about being flexible to that approach as well. So I think it's just clients who are very honest about where they are, what they want, what type of work they're willing to put into it. And just clients who kind of also are able to be fluid with the process. Because again, therapy isn't just linear. Healing isn't linear.
No, it's not.
It's very back and forth. It's very, very exhausting. So someone who's just willing to commit, I think that's where it works best. And I feel like it might be a little bit jarring for people to hear that, but isn't that the same case with your physical health, with any other thing you do? You have to be willing to put in that work and commit to it to be able to get to where you want to go.
Yeah.
So it's just the same.
There's so many golden nuggets in everything that you just said that my brain is trying to figure out where to even start. But yeah, I totally agree with you. And I like what you said about it having to be a continuous process of putting an effort. Because even if you think about the gym, you may work really hard to get to a certain, let's call it a physique or a certain level of fitness. But once you get there, you don't stop.
Yeah.
Because if you stop doing the work, you just go back to exactly what you were before. You might have to put in less effort, but you have to continue showing up for yourself in that way.
Absolutely.
And yeah, for sure, healing is not a linear thing. And it's also like, where are you going? There's no there's no final destination where you're perfect, but you just become more resilient and better at handling the cards that you've been dealt with.
Yeah.
And as a result of that, life changes in the best way possible. So yeah, totally love that approach. It brought me back to what I wanted to actually say to you before when I forgot. When what you said is that you can't control how other people respond to you. And you can't even control what other people will do to you.
Yeah.
But you can control how you show up.
Yeah.
And that's so powerful. I really want to make sure that people are taking that away. There's so much power in personal responsibility.
Yeah.
And having somebody in your corner who's exactly saying, like, I'm not going to fix your life, but I'm here to support you and empower you to take the responsibility that you can take for yourself. Like, really, really cool stuff.
It's crazy, isn't it? Because I think for me personally, I just had this idea when I went into therapy that she's magically going to change my life. She's magically going to make me aware of things that I didn't even know. And it was like, when she kept asking me, like, what do you want to do about this? What do you want to feel about this? It was like, I just, again, like, I wanted to pull my hair out. And I wanted to be like, I don't know. Like, I just don't understand where I even have to start. And it was just like through that patience itself, but also keeping me accountable, it really changed my perspective. So it was like, you know what? Anything that I want, I'm going to have to work for. I can't have some knight in shining armor come and save me. And while that was very difficult to sit with, it was, again, like you said, just going through the process of that, which changed everything for me. And it really is like that. Like, you can't suddenly at one stage be like, I'm going to be the healed version of myself, you know?
What does that even mean?
What does that even mean? And when we are going through life with all its chaos, with all its pain, with all its unexpectedness, you just can't, you can't say that I'm going to reach this fixed state,
because
as humans, we're not programmed to be like that. We're very, very fluid beings.
Yeah, totally. And you cannot predict what is going to happen to you in life.
Exactly.
You can do all this work on yourself. And this is personal experience that I've had. You can do so much work on yourself and think that you've gotten to a certain point.
Yeah.
And then something just blindsides you.
Yeah.
And suddenly you feel like you've regressed.
Yeah.
But some things you're not equipped to work with until they happen.
100%.
But I think that that doesn't dismiss the importance of doing this work, because when things like that happen, you might get like sidetracked and go, what the fuck just happened? But you also come out of it a lot faster because you've built an entire skill set and toolbox. Yeah. So that's really...
I love how you said that, because when I was in my course, so I had this very close friend, and what we used to talk about was your comeback will always be higher than your setback. Mm. So if you're starting here and you get pulled down, you're only going to shoot up because you're going to know how to deal with it. You're going to go through that experience having learned so much. And like you said, like, it's really hard when life just comes at you. Like, I know this past year has been a shit show for me. Like, you know,
same. Yeah.
It's like, it's so unpredictable. But yeah. Now to think like it 1 year later almost, and to just maybe even reflect back and think so many things have changed. Yeah, that was a real shitty period. But it's like, I can also kind of see the windows and the little pockets of good things that kind of still got me through it. And now to think that's only going to get bigger, only going to get better. Like 1 year ago, I couldn't have imagined I'd be sitting here with you doing this. Like, you know, even let alone just being in Dubai, I couldn't have imagined that. But there is a reason that it's happened in the way it's happened. And that's how I choose to look at it for myself.
Mm.
But again, like when you're working with clients, you can't always be like, it's happened to you for a reason, all these things. Like when someone's in the middle of that process,
that's
to
not
hear
what they
that,
want to hear.
Oh my God. It's like, it makes you literally just want to flip the table and be like, you know what, you're just being so presumptuous right now that you think this bad thing is happening to me and it's going to make, like, I'm going to make something good out of it. Like, that's such a shitty thing to say to someone as well.
Yeah.
So it's about kind of like being aware of people are at in their processes as well. So I think it's just so important to build that relationship with someone you can check in with, because once they kind of like hear you getting out of that period, then they can use that as a tool to be like, just look back at what you've accomplished. Like, it's amazing. You should be so proud of yourself, and just reinforce that kind of like idea that you are resilient, you are strong.
Yeah. Yeah. Totally. And there's something in as well, the resilience that it takes to actually be able to show up in the depths of your shit.
Yeah.
Without having necessarily achieved anything specific.
Absolutely.
That I find personally is a game changer when I work with people. It's so hard to feel like you're moving ahead or that you're doing anything right when life has just slapped you in the face with something.
Exactly.
That has just shaken your entire being. But there's so much bravery in actually showing up to a therapy session or a coaching session in the thick of your shit and being like, I feel like shit.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
And just that on its own.
I think it's important to acknowledge those moments and just be like, yeah, this is shit. It just is. Mm-hmm. And just say it as it is, because you don't want people sugarcoating it. Like, that's not what you're there to, it's not what you're there for, you know? You just want to be allowed to feel the way that you feel and not have to put on an act, you know? Like, for example, when you're going to the office, when you're hanging out with friends and they've made plans, or when you're with your family and you can't truly express yourself, I think that's one of the most painful moments that someone can go through, because you're like literally dying on the inside and you've just got this smiley face.
Yeah.
You're like, okay, I'm good. And then you go home and you're just like, oh my God, like, I can't do this anymore.
Yeah.
And I think like, being able to have a break from that and just going in there, like, I've gone into therapy sessions where I've just cried for half like the session and just been like, can't get a word out, just been crying. My therapist has just been there like, yeah, this is just shit, isn't it? And I've just been like, yeah, it's really terrible. Like, that's just how the session's gone. And I've left it feeling like, oh, you know, like, I'm glad that I could share this with someone and not feel like I need to be packaged, you know?
Yeah.
And be like,
yeah. It does wonders for healing in itself just to have that sort of person that you can go to and be 100% unfiltered yourself and say the deepest, darkest shit that goes on in your head, and just have somebody look at you with love and go, yeah, that's really tough. Like, no shame, no judgment.
Exactly.
Just holding you in that.
Yeah.
And what I've seen is that that process actually gives people more permission to show up.
Yeah.
In other areas and in other relationships in their life, because that big, deep, dark thing that they thought was going to make them so unlovable.
Yeah.
Someone's just been like, no, it's not.
It's so beautiful.
So human.
Yeah.
So normal. Yeah.
It's just such a beautiful process. It's just so so tender, like, and I think it really is that connection that we're all searching for, to have that in that moment.
Yeah.
And to also, you know, feel like you can trust this individual not to go around and tell this to other people as well. I think that's something that I loved about therapy.
The trust.
Yeah. It's such a game changer, because it's like, you can go vent to people, but sometimes you always have that niggling feeling where it's like, oh, like, I don't know if this is going to be kept between them, or is it going to kind of be discussed? And I'm not saying that it happens in a malicious way, but sometimes it just comes up.
Mm.
So to have someone who's so kind of like dedicated just to you, to hold that space and to hold whatever you're carrying, I think it's just so, it's so beautiful. And I know some people say that therapy is such a kind of like a very synthetic type of process, you know, it's not real. But I know for sure that the connection that I have with my clients was a relationship. It felt like a proper relationship. And while I might not fully be sharing, like, you know, when you tell me you're going through something, I won't be like, oh my God, yeah, I've gone through it too. But I think that's an important aspect of it, because right now this is for you. And I'm going to show up as myself, but I'm going to show up for you. So I think, yeah, it's such a game changer just when you have those type of people in your life. And, you know, even with your coaching, I think it's so beautiful when someone just takes that risk and takes that chance to open up and be like, things are just shit. Like, I just need help and I just feel terrible. And they trust you enough to come to you and be like, have space for me, please. Like, it's just amazing.
Yeah, yeah, for sure. And there's a lot of similarities between what you do and what I do.
Yeah.
And I say this because I have got people that come to me and they're like, oh, but I've worked with a therapist and I don't want to work with a therapist anymore because I've been stuck. But actually, a lot of what I do in my coaching is person-centered.
Yeah.
It's exactly the same. We don't have to go, and you don't have to tell me all about your childhood. I might briefly ask about it to identify the pattern, but that's not what we're going to spend all our time on. And we're not going to just spend our time talking about your problems and you walking away from the session with nothing.
Exactly.
And it is very personalized. So for those who are feeling skeptical, the way that we work is so aligned.
Yeah.
And the results that even you're getting with your clients, very aligned with the work that I do. And I would just want that to be sort of a reminder for anyone who's watching, because the whole reason why I hired Reshma is because we are so aligned.
Yeah.
Like, I kept rambling on about it in the beginning, but I feel our values are aligned, the way that we work is aligned, and even our personalities, our fucking life story, which I've only just come to learn today, is very aligned. So I'm really, really excited to see what you're going to be doing with people in our community. And I really encourage people to take the skeptical glasses off. If I feel that Reshma is a good fit for you, and I recommend her, do not shy away, because this is an epic person who's doing epic work. And I have no doubt that she's going to be able to change your life. And then final question before I let you go. If there was one thing that you wish your clients knew about you, what would it be?
I think a lot of people think that, like, coming into therapy or coming into kind of helping professions that we do, it's kind of like they're coming to meet this expert. And it's like, while I have my qualifications, I am no bigger than you. I am no lesser than you. I'm your equal. And we come into it as two people on the same level, just trying to build a connection and to support you as best as we can. And I think a lot of people get intimidated when I tell them, like, I'm a psychotherapist or I do this. And they're like, oh my God, like, are you psychoanalyzing me already? And it's like, no, I can't do that. You know, like, you know, you haven't said anything yet. And I'm not really in that position where I'm like, yeah, I'm gonna look at what attachment issue you have or what trauma you have based off of how you do things or say things. That's just not me. Like, I got into this profession because I loved working with people. I loved the connection you get to have with them and those intimate conversations that can sometimes be life-changing. And it works both ways. Like, when I say that, I mean for me. When I connect with my clients and they tell me things, I sit down and I'm like, oh my God, like, you've just rewired my entire brain with that statement. And it's so crazy. So I think that's one thing that I would really love for people to know, that I'm not like this super like formal professional person. Like, I'm just human. I'm just human. And I just want to help people out as much as I can, because I wished there was someone to be there for me, you know, when I was younger and going through so many things. But I think that's why I'm so, so excited to work with you. And like you said, it feels like everything's just fallen into place. And it's really exciting to see what we can do together and how we can really support people the best as we can.
Yeah. So I'm very, very much excited. And I like that saying that you're not above, you're not below, you just are where they are. And so true. Your certification doesn't suddenly make you superhuman.
Exactly.
But it does provide you with the necessary skill set and knowledge that you need to be able to help somebody who's willingly coming to you and saying, hey, like, this is what I'm going through. And that's it's so beautiful because you're not just a human, but you're also a human that also understands what they've been through, not even just from your qualification, but just from your general life experience, especially in the context of all the work that we do together in the Secure Method coaching program. Because your life story is like the bread and butter of everyone that comes in. This underlying feeling of not being enough and all of the ways that that gets projected into life, relationships, everything. Yeah. So yeah, I'm really, really happy to have you on the team. Mm. I hope you guys felt Reshma's presence through this episode the way I do when we work together. She is now, like we said a million times, she is officially now a part of the team. And I am really proud to be building something with her as she is so aligned with the mission. You can connect with her through our Instagram. Whether you're looking for support or simply just wanting to follow along with her work, I cannot recommend her enough. And as always, thank you for being here. We will see you in the next episode.